Turn in our Bibles now, or however you got them there, phones, whatever it might be, to Luke chapter 6. Tonight we're going to be reading verses 1 to 11. So Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Now it happened on the Sabbath, on the second Sabbath after the first, that he went through the grain fields, and his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" But Jesus answering them said, "Have you not even read this? What David did when he was hungry and those who were with him, how he went into the house of God, took and ate the showbread, and also gave some to those with him, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath.' Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Arise and stand here.' And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, 'I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy?' And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." So that's where we're going to be camping out in the Bible tonight, as we look at this idea of whether this day of rest is a day of forced rest or happy relief. Now, as we see in that Bible reading we just had, the tension that's going on and that we've been looking at through the book of Luke between Jesus and the Pharisees is continuing on tonight. There's been some really big things happen. Jesus has made some really significant claims about who he was, about him not just being a man, but about him being God, being able to forgive sins, about being able to heal people from all sorts of physical conditions, even those that were considered uncurable. And the Pharisees were resisting Jesus more and more. The opposition to him is getting increasingly significant. Now, this friction, this tension, this butting of heads between these two groups of people, Jesus and his followers and the Pharisees and their followers, really comes up again tonight when we look at a topic called the Sabbath. Now, for some of us, the Sabbath might not be something that we're overly familiar with. The Sabbath is the seventh day, the day of rest, the day which God, after he created the world in 6 days, rested. It's an important enough topic that the fourth of the 10 commandments that God gives his people says to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Each day, take a day of rest where you remember what God did, remember the works that God has done, and don't do any of the other work on that day. Now, in that sense, it's a really, really big topic. It's big enough that it's one of the four commandments. This is the pattern that God has set in the way that he created the world, to work 6 days and to rest on one day. But I do not need that slide yet. I don't think. Actually, that's the command in the Old Testament there, sorry. This is the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, when we consider this idea of Sabbath, when we consider this idea of having a day where we disconnect from our work, where we put our work down and just don't engage with it, that might seem like a really foreign idea for us today. We live in a world where we are, unfortunately, on our phones quite a lot. I even use my phone for our order of what we're happening tonight. We always have access to emails, we have access to Facebook, to social media. We live in a day and age where more and more workplaces are encouraging flexible hours, where you don't necessarily have to be in the office 9 to 5. You can take your work home with you. You can do your work at any point in time. As long as you hit your hours for the week, whenever that might be, you can do it. this idea of intentionally having one day every week where we rigidly say we're disconnecting from work, we're not going to do work on that day, it sounds archaic, it sounds old school, it sounds like a burden. And when you think about people who tended to be pro-burdensome laws and pro-burdensome things, that's where the Pharisees come into our story for tonight. Last time we were in the Gospel of Luke, they were upset at Jesus for going and having a dinner party with tax collectors and sinners. They seemed to think that Jesus was a bit too laid back with what he was doing there. Obviously, he didn't care enough about his own reputation or the well-being of his own followers that he would go and eat with these ungodly, unworthy, filthy people in society. Hang out with sinners. And tonight they're upset that this commandment that God's given, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, in two instances, one in the field where his disciples took some grain, rubbed in their hands and ate it, another one where he's in the synagogue and he healed somewhere. Jesus seems to not care about this command is the accusation that they have. And it's a big command. It's one of the 10 commandments that God's given. So at the start of chapter 6, on the second Sabbath after the first, so second Sunday of the month, or would have been Saturday in the Old Testament, in the time of Jesus, they were going around, Jesus' disciples were travelling around with him, and they were passing through a field, and some of his disciples plucked heads of grain, ate them, rubbing them in their hands, and some of the Pharisees, this is where we see their narkiness come in. They're upset because they think that what is happening here is unlawful. They think they have the law figured out. They think they have Jesus on the ropes here. This is going to be the end of Jesus' public ministry. Because according to Leviticus chapter 23 and Deuteronomy 5, the first one's going to be Leviticus 23, sorry. It says, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. And then also in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, and on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. So one day and seven belongs to God. Jesus and his disciples are in a field at the moment, eating grain. It doesn't seem very God-focused to them. Obviously, Jesus and his disciples are breaking the law as the charge that they're bringing. But they're missing the point. Because this is another part of the Bible which talks about the Sabbath. It says, later on in Deuteronomy 23, verse 25, when you come into your neighbour's standing grain, you may pluck their heads with your hand. You shall not use a sickle on your neighbour's standing grain. So what's going on here? The Pharisees are looking at part of the law, not the entirety of it. They're not looking at all of God's word. And they're saying, no, you've messed up, Jesus. Your disciples have crossed the line. You've broken God's law. You're unworthy to teach. You're unworthy to have people follow you. This is the end of the road. Now, the reason I'm highlighting this is because it is one of the 10 commandments we're given. It's a serious thing to have this day of rest. We don't want to look for loopholes in it. But, and as I say, the Sabbath day, this day of rest, is to be set aside to worship God, to focus on God. It's not a new concept. It wasn't a new concept when Jesus was around. It had been there since the creation of the world. But the Pharisees were people who tended to add a whole heap of other laws onto what God had said. They added a whole heap of restrictions on top of what God had specifically set out for right living, for living in a way which was pleasing to God, for bringing glory and honour to God's name, which, as I mentioned in the prayer, we could spend every second of every hour of every day praising God and still not say enough. We should be praising God. We don't want to break his laws. We want to give him glory. It's what we're designed to do. And the Pharisees thought to do that will put as many laws in place, as many structures in place to keep you away from any chance of breaking them. Now, the more I hear about the Pharisees, I'm not sure about you, but the less inclined I am to think they would have been a fun bunch of people to hang out with. They just keep making rules. Who really does that? It's not how you really want to spend your time.
We read about a couple of good Pharisees, but overall we see the Pharisees depicted in a bad way. They're going to say, though, we just want to keep the law. And before we write them off entirely, we need to understand something about what the Pharisees thought about the Sabbath day. So they believed, now it's not found in the Bible, it came up somewhere in Jewish culture, but they believed that if every single person in Israel kept this day of rest, didn't do any work, didn't break any of God's laws about working on the Sabbath for two consecutive Sabbath days, then the Messiah would come. So we might think these guys are just boring, but behind all this, these guys are out to trap Jesus, behind all this, the origination of these ideas was they did want the Messiah of the world to come. They wanted this Saviour of the world, which Luke is all about, to come down into this world to save all the world. We might look at this and say these guys are just huge party poopers, but there's a reason behind them doing what they're doing. They really wanted the Saviour of the world to come. Now, maybe the politics took over a little bit, because we read the second part of what we read in the synagogue. They watched to see whether Sabbath would be broken. They might have figured, look, we'll have plenty of other two Sabbaths in a row to try and get this right. We just want to trap Jesus right now. Maybe the politics took over, whatever it might have been. They wanted Jesus to come, but they wanted it to happen when it suited their political position in Israel. As long as it could strengthen them. They wanted the Messiah of the world, and the biggest irony in all of this is that the Saviour of the world was right there when they're saying this. They are having problems with the Saviour of the world. He was right there with them in the field and in the synagogue. He doesn't fit what they want. They just never seem to be able to see eye to eye with Jesus at all. There's always niggle. There's always a little bit of pushback. There's always this underlying mentality, oh, you know what, Jesus, if you did things our way, things would be so much better. We could all just get on. They're looking for the right thing, but they're going about it in all the wrong ways. They're looking about going about it in how they can maintain power for themselves, how they can maintain control for themselves, and they keep missing the point over and over again because it's not about them. It's not about their ideas. And when they're in the field, Jesus reminds them of a historical event with King David, or this happened just before David was the king of Israel. And David and his men were on the run from Saul, who was the king at the time. God had sent the prophet Samuel to David and told him that he would be the king of Israel. David could have killed Saul at any point in time, but he trusted God to resolve things in his way. He wasn't going to raise himself up against the person God had put into that office. But this is David, who, in the eyes of the Pharisees and the people in Jesus' day, living with Roman rule over them, they would be looking back to David going, we just want to make Israel great again. When our Messiah comes, we want him to make Israel great again. David was our great king. David was the one who won our empire for us. David is the one who is amazing. Our nationalistic pride, David is our king. But this king who they almost idolized did something which they'd have huge problems with. He went into a temple, into a synagogue, into the house of God. He took and ate the showbread and gave some to those with him, which is not lawful for any to do but the priests. That bread that David ate while he was on the run from King Saul was only legally to be eaten by the priests. David asked the priests at the temple if he and his men could have some. Strictly speaking, David had no right to eat that at all. isn't it better that David should eat and that his men should eat than starve to death? Do we see what's going on here? Jesus' disciples plucked the grains of head. They rubbed them in their hands. It would have been a small amount. And they ate. Isn't it better to eat than to starve? Every week, it is really, really important that we do have a day of rest. As Christians, we meet on Sundays as our day of rest, because this is the day that Jesus rose from the grave. This is the day that, if you haven't read the book of Acts, read Acts chapter 2, we see the Spirit of God coming out on a day called Pentecost. It's really worth reading that. There's so many reasons why we meet together on Sundays and have Sundays as our day of rest. But there are times when there will be unavoidable necessities come up. Like eating. Like family emergencies. Jesus is saying that in cases of necessity, it is okay to do some work on the Sabbath. But the limit here that he's setting is necessity. If we're going to do work on this day of rest, we need to make sure that it is necessary. Not trying to skirt around the rules so that we can just do more of the fun things that we want to do all the time and ignore God. But if it's necessary that we do work on a Sunday, and Jesus is saying, yes, it's okay, but do not make that a regular pattern. That's the main point that Jesus is making in the field, I believe. But the issue of the Sabbath day, the day of rest, is still under contention. There's still friction, there's still all sorts of hard feelings between the Pharisees towards Jesus. And the second incident Luke tells us about is one I mentioned before. Jesus was in the synagogue. Now, I've written down here, verse 6 and 7 is very intriguing, but someone told me this week, when I say something is intriguing, it might not actually be intriguing. I think this is intriguing anyway, so we're going to go for it. But I think this is very, very interesting, because it tells us in here, we've got our little marker there. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath that they might find an accusation against him. Now, we don't know whether the Pharisees planned for this man with the withered hand to be there that day. But their reaction, if they're so serious about the Sabbath being kept, is very odd. Surely they would do everything in their power, if they're actually serious about pleasing God, not keeping power for themselves, to make sure that everyone in Israel kept the Sabbath the way they thought it should be kept. They had the power to encourage that, but they sit back and they watch to see what Jesus is going to do. They want to find something wrong with him. And don't you feel for the man with the withered hand? It is a political bargaining chip here. We just had an election. I would hate to see the election campaigns these guys would run today. This is really dirty stuff going on here. They're not fighting fair. They want to pin something on Jesus. They just want Jesus stopped. Okay, Jesus, maybe it's helpful for you to heal this guy on the Sabbath. But you seem to say, if it's necessary to work on the Sabbath, you can do work on the Sabbath. Presumably this guy's had a withered hand for a really long time. He has survived perfectly fine up until now. Is it really necessary that you heal this man on this special day for our people, where we are meant to focus on God, where we are not meant to work? Maybe they have a point. Maybe it's not actually necessary on this day. Now, how easy is it for us to do what the people around us want us to do? I have a joke I overuse. I probably got it from Ryan. She says, I wasn't into peer pressure at first, but my friends got me into it. And we want, we crave the approval of the people around us. It's so easy to go, okay, look, this is not a good situation. This is not going to work out well for me. Jesus could have just walked out of that synagogue and no one would have known that he'd actually seen that guy, been aware of his need, his ability to heal him. It would have just been a normal run-of-the-mill synagogue day, they could have said. But Jesus is, he's not like that. He knows all the nasty stuff the Pharisees are thinking, and he calls this man with the withered arm over to him, and he just calls the situation out. He doesn't beat around the bush, he gets straight to it. This man stands beside Jesus, and Jesus asks him in verse 9, I'll ask you one thing, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? Goes on that after looking around, Jesus says to the man, stretch out your hand, and it was healed as fine as his other hand was. No contact, just words. Reminds a little bit about how God created the world, doesn't it? And the Pharisees might be thinking, we have him. We have him. He has broken the Sabbath again. This command given by God that is for all people, because we are all created and designed the same way to work 6 days and to rest one. Jesus has broken it again. We have him on the ropes. But Jesus is reminding them of what really matters. A few years ago at a previous church, it was up on Sunny Coast, and sometimes we get these weird weather patterns roll in, weird storms come in. And one of the guys who was on his way to church was down to play music that Sunday morning. He was a qualified first aid officer, able to teach first aid, very highly trained. A few cars in front of him, someone went off the road and veered into a ditch. This guy's driving past, aware that if he pulls over, he's not going to make it to church. In the end, though, even though he had the role to play at church, he pulled over. Pretty buff fella. He managed to pull this man and his wife out of the car. And the thought is, from the paramedics who arrived on scene, that he saved their lives. Later on that day, there were some people a bit disgruntled that they'd missed out on a musician that day. Surely someone else coming along later, surely someone in a car just a few behind, could have provided the exact same care. Why did we have to miss out on our musician? You see, when we have this day of rest to focus on God, we focus on a God who is gracious. We praise and we give glory to a God who is the sustainer of all things. All things are held together by him. We focus on a God who has shown us so much love that he sent his son Jesus, who we're reading about in Luke, to die on the cross to save us from our sins. It is better, even on the Sabbath, to do good than to do evil. And sometimes just standing on the sidelines is evil. I was horrified at the reaction that some people would have had to this situation. But it's not a new reaction. Verse 11 tells us, it's about the Pharisees, but they were filled with rage and disgust with one another what they might do to Jesus. How easy is it for us to forget the nature of God? How easy is it for us to forget that we have a God who calls us to love one another? And by his sending Jesus to die on the cross has shown us the greatest love that we could ever have. And raising Jesus back to life has given us the guarantee of eternal life that we could not earn for ourselves, but God has lovingly and graciously done that for us. How easy is it to focus on what we want to do? And we look at these other things and say, you know what, it's better just to let them slide. But Jesus is reminding us it is far better to do good than to do evil. works of necessity and works of mercy are the reasons that the Bible gives us to work on the Sabbath. But as I said before, it may still feel like a burden. This sermon is called Forced Rest or Happy Relief. When we talk about this idea of having and keeping one day a week where we rest, more often than not, and it just sounds really unusual after having said a day a week where we rest, people grumble. Don't want to rest. Honestly, when I was younger, I hated being told to have a lie down on Sunday afternoons. Now, I got grumpy if I didn't have my nap, but I didn't want to have a nap. I wanted to do other things, but sometimes we treat what God has given us in the exact same way. Maybe we think that having a day where we don't squeeze more in, where we don't work, where we focus on God and who He is and what He has done for us, where we encourage one another to meet together and remind each other what God has done for us, maybe we think that's a burden. But is it? We can present this as such a hard thing to do. But Jesus, who calls Himself in our passage tonight, and also in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, which is another version of this plucking the heads of grain story, Jesus tells us that the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Pharisees had big issues around Jesus' use of the Sabbath because it didn't fit their viewpoint. But their way of using the Sabbath sounds really difficult. To have so many rules in place that you stress the whole day about whether you're breaking them or not. Or to use it the way God says. Where He says, just don't do your normal work on the Sunday. If you have an assignment due, manage your time and do it on other days. It's really not that difficult. Because this is a blessing. That God has designed us so that we take one day a week where we don't worry about those things that stress us out of our heads during the week, and we focus on our good and gracious God. Maybe it still sounds like a chore to take a day off. I hope it doesn't. I hope you see this is actually a joy that God has allowed us and encourages us to do this. Others have tried differently. The Babylonians and Michael told me this morning, the Russians tried having 10-day weeks. It didn't work. People died. We're not designed for that. We try all sorts of weird and wonderful things today with flexible office hours where we can work from home wherever we want, and so often that might overflow onto time where we should actually be resting. If that's what we're doing, it's not sustainable. History shows us that we can't do anything other than work 6 days and rest. This is God's love to us and for us. If things are absolutely necessary and emergencies come up, then it is right for doctors and nurses. I'm very thankful last Sunday that they were working. But where we can, have this day to focus on God. Don't continue to make excuses for doing what we want to do all the time. There are circumstances. God is aware that things don't always work out as planned. There are things that we might need to do on Sunday. If somebody's been given an eviction notice and they just have to be moved out of their house on the Sunday, perhaps a loving thing to do is not to say, no, I have to go to church that day, but to be there with them and to support them and encourage them and help them move on that day. There will be situations like this, but we have to remember that the Sabbath has been made for us to enjoy God. God has given us this chance to rest. So let's use this chance to rest together, where we can be refreshed spiritually by reading God's word together, where we can be refreshed physically by taking that break that we need from our work. Let's look to him. Let's be thankful that he has done this for us. And let's be thankful that he understands our circumstances. We praise him and look forward to an eternity of praising him and that perfect rest to come.